Percocets. Molly Percocets.
Percocets.
Hello, humans. Welcome again to the Audio Face podcast on the Syndicate 23 network. I am Dan from the internet.
I'm Sean Suarez.
And we are here once again, episode two. We made it this far.
Yeah, for now. We'll see how long we go before, you know, riots happen.
Yeah.
You know, people come down, burn my house down and everything.
I know. Thank you all for the great feedback gotten on the podcast so far. We're blowing up. We're in pretty much available everywhere now. And it's great. Just really fast, if you didn't catch the first episode, this is just going to be a podcast about music news, music culture, like just our thoughts on music as it is today. We'll talk a little bit of new things, a little bit of old things, and we'll do some recommendations of our own. And I'm joined by here by like one of my best friends of all time. We've both been musicians for like much of our lives.
Pretty much our entire lives, yeah.
Yeah, it's not something we do anymore as in creating music, but I did actually compose the intro a long time ago. It's actually a demo I made. When I was 16, and I just like reworked it a little bit for the intro purposes. But yeah, not to go into too much about ourselves, let's just hop right into the news. And I think the biggest story I would say of the week, it's a little tragic, the bombing at the Manchester Arena when Ariana Grande was performing. There was a lot about that. There's not really like much to say about it, but I mean, obviously, in case you didn't know, there was a suicide bomber
outside. So, yeah.
Yeah, waited till the Ariana Grande concert was over. And what was the like casualty count? I think it was like
25 or something around that number.
Yeah, it was in the 20s.
And a lot injured.
Yeah. Ariana Grande is doing a benefit concert in Manchester for the event. But all around, it's really tragic. But I just got to say, I love Manchester as a city for how they handled the situation. It's barely anything got to say on that.
So yeah, and I feel bad for Ariana Grande, actually. She canceled her whole tour and everything, and I can't imagine what, you know, she has to be going through to, she feels terrible for her fans and everything that happened, and it's just such a tragic.
You have to remember that, like,
story.
Ariana Grande's fans, I have the...
They're all very young, usually.
Very young. Yeah, a lot of people were there, like... Very young, tends to lean more towards like the like women, female demographic. Mm-hmm. So you had a lot of like girls with their moms there.
Right, yeah, it's a family event, really.
And of course, like the terror part, the terrorism aspect is it's like, it's just the way any sort of concert would work. It ends, people start to like rush outside because they want to catch their like Ubers, Lyfts, taxis, get home.
It's chaos,
afterwards.
Always after concerts.
Always
no
chaotic.
What.
And so like, yeah, that's going to be on a lot of people's minds. But I mean... Not to make this totally political of a thing, but like that's how terrorism works. You want to make people paranoid and fearful out of like not doing things that are part of their daily lives.
Right.
And I guess you win by not changing your life, but there's also like an amount of alertness you have to do.
Exactly.
This worries me because, you know, every time one of these things happen, like all the terrorist groups, like they amp up their like terrorism talk. And one of the things they mentioned was like targeting Las Vegas, and
of course I'm
going to EDC this summer, so it's a little worrying. But a lot of these are empty threats. They don't have a lot of resources, these terrorist groups, and so they will use whatever instant they can in order to like gin up any sort of terrorism because that's their game.
Right.
But you know, I mean, I'm not scared. If I die at EDC, I will die happy.
I will run the podcast. No.
This will be an interesting podcast episode for then. But there's not much more to say on the matter. Do you have anything on that?
No, not really. I mean, that's just, tragic, sad story. And I hope that this doesn't give people, like, make people go away from concerts or different outdoor fun events. I hope that... stuff like this doesn't continue in the future. So it makes everybody paranoid and sad, and especially for art stuff. I really hope that it doesn't affect it too much.
Yeah, my last thing. So. Manchester is the strongest city on earth. I love it. I love how classy they've handled the situation. They're not going into the like harshly like anti-immigrant ban all immigrants rhetoric. They're standing together and standing strong in this moment. So, like. I'm really proud about that. But anyways, next up on the list, I wanted to point out that there's a Grateful Dead documentary on Netflix, either coming soon or available now, called Long Strange Trip. And I'm not necessarily a Deadhead. Punk rock is not something I was super into, but I did want to throw it in there because I did happen to listen to a long interview. I think it was Recode Media with Peter Kafka, and the director or writer or someone from that was on the podcast explaining Long Strange Trip about just like the Grateful Dead's culture, how they kind of invited anyone who wanted to be a part of the group, how they really kind of shaped punk culture at that time.
It was wild.
It's a film that was 14 years in the making because it was hard to get Grateful Dead. Like, they approved of the idea, but they had to like approve of the idea.
Right.
So it took a long time to get that to work. And I know, and there's probably going to be some like punk rock fans in the audience out there. I want to give you all a shout out. I like appreciate the culture. I love the counterculture that develops around all different types of most different types of music. I can't stand most Radiohead fans, but like there's a Radiohead guy for sure.
Yeah, we talked about that last time.
We have.
Even though favorite band, but
fans, you can be a Radiohead fan and not be Radiohead guy, but you have fans of certain like artists and like they take after that artist for better or for worse.
Right.
And so I'm not going to go any further than that, but I just think that that's just a cool thing I wanted to point out that was really nice.
Did that just come out this week and everything? Or
I think because he's doing the promotional like rounds about it. Oh, and I made a mistake. It's actually available on Amazon. My mistake. It's like Amazon's starting to buy documentaries now.
Can you stream it through Prime and everything?
Yeah, if you've got Amazon Prime, then you can stream that. And yeah, that's a thing Amazon's doing, whereas Netflix is really buying into comedy and making sure they can have as like as much comedy, like stand-up specials, comedy shows. You have Amazon really playing a role with like documentaries and long form content. So
interesting. Okay,
that's cool. I don't know if you have anything to add to that, but if you don't, you can head on to the next thing.
Not really. My thing is, when we recorded the podcast last week, Phoenix released their latest on Tiamo, so I didn't get to talk about that last time. So they have, for their upcoming album, which comes out next month, I believe, Tiamo, which they released the song with the same title as the album. And very, very excited. Yeah, as you do, as most fans do, or mention the title of the song and lyrics. You know, that happens so often. But the song is very, very good. It's reminiscent of old Phoenix, but with new, more upbeat stuff. And I really like it. If it's that and J-Boy are kind of the themes for the album, then it's going to be great. And I'm really, really looking forward to that coming out sometime mid-June, I believe.
We played it into the podcast before we started recording, actually, naturally, because of those. We got slapped with that young copyright violation.
Right.
But I was listening to it as we began, and it is a really, like, I was immediately like, yeah, Phoenix is back. This is a banger. It was a really great song. And so I'm definitely looking forward to what else Phoenix has got in store. They're a solid band. I think we talked about this, maybe at some point we've talked about this, maybe on or off recording, but it's very hard for a band to age and like be around for long periods of time and change their sound and not have it sound a little hokey. And we'll get to a band that failed miserably at that, up next in the rundown. But no, it sounds like Phoenix has like maintained their sound while still like
making it better, you know, improving on their style, and it sounds really good. Yeah, I'm excited, and it says it comes out June 9th, so in about a week and a half. So
yeah,
that'll be great.
Let's have a review. Let's have a proper like little review of that. We'll spend good 5 minutes talking about where it went right, where it went even more right.
Hopefully, we'll see.
We go into our album reviews with an open mind generally, but. No, I'm very looking forward to that.
Yeah,
speaking of album reviews, I'm going to take a crack at the Gucci Man.
He
dropped Top WAP very recently. And
I love his album title names. They're so wild. WAPtober, Return of East Atlanta Santa. So, okay.
Gucci Man, you love Gucci Mane. I do it as a joke. I'm not... Oh, is this the Goosey Man? I love the Goosey Man. He's one of my favorites. So, literally, like, his discography is crazy. He has so many albums. He has so much work. I'm not even counting, like, his mixtapes, not even counting the little DVDs he does.
I don't want to know how many albums he's done.
This man puts out, I think he's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, about 11 studio albums. And so, like, that's just a huge, he's super active. He's
even when he was in jail, he was active. What the hell?
I don't even know, but say what you will. Wild. He is dedicated to his music. He is dedicated to his style. And if you're into like trap hop, if you're into that kind of style, this is a great album. This is everything you will want.
Yeah, it sounds just like most of his work, which is okay.
He continues to kill the trap game. It's like it toes a nice line between it toes the line I like where it sounds like his old work, but in a comfortable way. Not in a way where I complain about it. It's like, yes, this is Gucci. I really appreciate it. I was listening to it on my drive on the way over here to record the podcast, actually. And I was like, yeah, this is trap. Yeah, this is like pure, like, wholesome, pure
get
wholesome.
Get drugs.
Pure
get,
wholesome
get your
trap.
Nine trap music.
that's extendo trap
music.
Yeah. Pure wholesome trap is going to be the subtitle for this episode.
Pure wholesome trap.
No, but like, it's very much your bread and butter, what trap music is supposed to sound like, what trap music is supposed to feel like. It's got that vibe, it's got that percussion, but it still sounds fresh. It's a testament to Gucci's talent, I will say that. It's absolutely great.
Right.
Sean, you heard a little bit of it. You're like not as in the trap as I am.
And no, I'm like, I only have it because a couple of my friends listen to it, so I
yeah,
have
our
to...
friends Caesar and Bam, which... Speaking of content. I guess this is the first time we're announcing this publicly, but yes, Caesar and Bam, one of like Sean and I's really good friends, they started a podcast called We Made It, by the way. It's a soccer podcast, totally different vibe from this, but same authenticity. Check it out. All the links will be at wemadeit.syndicate23.co. If you're down, give them a shot. I honestly think it's even better podcast than this. But if you're into the world of soccer or want to get into the world of soccer, they make it sound entertaining, even if you don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, and they talk about a bunch of different leagues and everything.
Yeah.
So it's good. But and they know what they're talking about.
Not to make that a whole like segue, but yeah. like Caesar is very into Gucci Mane.
Oh yeah, that's his thing.
Yeah.
That's his boy.
And it's like from what I hear, he's very happy about this album and how it turned out. So I'll take it from the fan himself. He's been into all of it. Any otherwise? I don't know. You gave me a face.
No, I'm just agreeing. That's pretty much it.
I can never tell with Sean sometimes. Sometimes
no,
just
I
like
make way too many faces. I'm sorry.
Yes, let's continue to describe faces on a podcast. but I'm gonna direct you to this one afterwards. So yeah, overall, Drop Top Wop, I recommend it. Great album. But speaking of, let's go to a not so great album. So Linkin Park's new shit. Sean, take the wheel.
Yeah. So Linkin Park. Where do you begin? So they released One More Light on the 19th of May, and anticipated album, I should say, but for me, disappointing.
When was the last Linkin Park album, do you know?
2014, I think, or something
Yeah,
like that.
2014, yeah, Hunting Party.
Hunting Party, which was, I didn't like much. Basically, their last okay one was, Living Things was okay, but...
From 2012.
Yeah, from 2012. It started to go downhill around 2010 or so, for them at least, in my opinion. They try to change their sound a bit, which I normally like artists trying to change their sound, but it has to be done right, you know?
You know,
you can experiment, and if it works, then cool. If it doesn't, then you can try to go back or maybe implement it in a different way.
Which has been kind of a running theme of this podcast. If you're an old artist and you're still in the game, you have to maintain what made you great while still like
precisely
staying with the times and making it not suck, which is a lot of pressure.
And that's, you know, difference between good artists to great artists is exactly that. If you can last, you know, 15 years in the music business, but still have your own unique sound, that's an accomplishment. If you do 20 years, then you're one of the best ever, arguably.
If you carve out a niche for yourself while still maintaining like that kind of good, like carve out that niche while still maintaining some semblance of a connection to what the way the music industry is headed towards, that's how you stay relevant. That's how you stay great, actually.
Yeah. So with One More Light, they didn't do that.
They really didn't do that.
It sounds like they tried to blend every single sound they ever did into an album, and it was very repetitive, sounded like just too much like what new alternative rock crap is, where a lot of like electronic stuff, but doesn't mix well with the acoustic stuff that they put into it. So the drums and everything sound like what a bunch of artists have been doing the past 3, 4 years. And nothing really, except maybe Talking to Myself, is okay on the album. Hopefully I'm not the only one that really
Yeah.
feels that. I just do not like it at all. It just, they try to make all of the popular sounds of alternative music of the past, what, 3, 4 years, where now it's starting to change a little bit, more electronics, more poppy sounds, or more like
Which is not
mainstream, which
necessarily bad,
isn't necessarily
but
bad,
it
but
should be
it
used in
could go,
restraint in this genre particularly.
exactly, and it could turn south very quickly, and that's what happened in this album, where it sounded like they tried too hard,
Yeah,
you know, and
pop
it,
is allowed to sound like pop, but
exactly, but this is just, they literally mixed everything into one album, and you can't do that unless you are a god or something. I don't know. It's
Yeah.
very, very rare that you can make so many sounds and make it coherent and not sound just overproduced. I mean, that's the best word I can put for it. It's overproduced,
I think
unfortunately.
you're really tapping on what I was about to say. It looks like they made sort of like this horrendous jambalaya of an album. And it just like they added just a little too much of everything, and they didn't
Exactly,
like
yeah.
taste it along the it sounds like they didn't taste it along the way, if I'm continuing with this food metaphor. Because like there's a little bit of like trap sort of like percussion in it. I
Yeah.
really can't stand the lead singer. I think it's Chester Bennington. I can't stand his like vocals. It sounds
No,
like
he his vocals went crap a long time ago.
it
So.
just sounds like a bit of like a wailing noise. I'm sorry to like the Linkin Park diehards, but it's
Whoa.
just very unpleasant to listen
Well, it's like
to.
you have it's like Smashing Pumpkins. You either love it or you don't. You love Billy Corgan's voice or you don't. The same thing with Chester. You either love it or you don't. And back in the day, it was better for a more harder rock style because
That's what I was
it
gonna
sounds
say.
better in that style. But if you try to change it and make it more alternative, you need to have a damn good voice in order to kind of blend everything together. And his voice really sticks out in this too, and just sounds disconnected with everything else. And it's a shame, really.
Yeah, I really think this, like, I don't really know the whole like production crew on the album, but I
Right.
really think that they should have like had some other eyes on it to look into it. But it just, yeah, I get they're trying to go for a different sound, but when you have your like brand and you have all these different albums that have come out that have this sort of like the Rocky Linkin Park kind of vibe, and then you release this, it's just not, I don't know, it's just not gonna sit well. There's a right way to do it. There's a right way to go out and make an album like this. And I don't want to discourage artists who think of me as any sort of authority on the matter. I don't want to discourage artists to going outside of their comfort zone and trying new things, but
Right.
you don't get a pass just for doing that. You also have to do it right.
Yeah, exactly. You can't just change your music and expect people to do that, or it has to sound good, you know, it has to be unique, but not for just being unique's sake, you know,
Yeah.
along those lines. That's pretty much all I have to say on that. I don't
Me too.
know.
Next up on, actually, you
Cool.
know what? I'm gonna move things around a little bit. I'm gonna go into a little bit of industry inside baseball. So over at Tidal, which you know is the Jigga Man's, that's the Jigga Man's handle.
Oh, title.
Tidal is Jay-Z's streaming platform,
Yep.
and I love the idea because like part of what I'm kind of done with Syndicate 23 is to create a like group of people who create like dope things and give them some control in the process,
Yeah,
like the management
let them have
process.
their own thing, you know, not have a corporation or
Yeah.
something, have the, you know, big brothers watching over you, looking down, saying you have to do this because we need this, we need more money or whatever,
Yeah, and
whatever.
in the entertainment industry, in like anything as like mundane as like sports to like politics, even coming back to like music, the bean counters, they are the ones who control a lot of what goes on, and they're
Yes.
the ones who receive most of the money. It's management, it's advertising, it's all the other like little aspects that aren't the music but do support the music. That's not to say anything bad about the people who work there, it's just that the industry is very, it's very skewed towards that aspect. And so
Yes.
Tidal was the
Big
latest
time.
move of a musician like owning the means of production, if you will.
Seize the means of production. I'm not going to go into
I'm
politics.
gonna I'm gonna try and see if I can make one reference to communism in every single episode.
I can do that.
I think I can do it.
Animal
Just
Farm
subtle
every
digs.
time.
We'll
I can do that.
subtly we'll indoctrinate all of you. Not really. I'm not actually a communist. But anyways, title.
title. No, yeah.
I wanted to root for Tidal because to have artists own the streaming service, yes, you pay a little bit more, but the value add is getting like higher quality, like the files are less compressed.
And it's like that was the big problem with Spotify when especially the maiden years of Spotify is that artists were not getting paid and they still aren't getting their fair share of the profits that they need in order to just stay alive and be able to make music full time. Yeah. So that's what guys like Thom Yorke were really pushing against, you know, a big streaming site that doesn't offer its fair share to artists. I mean, it's gotten a little bit better recently, but it's still not the greatest platform or like the greatest sustainable way for artists to really shine, because now it's going to end up being like classical music back in the day where you had Schubert sitting down making maybe $1,000 a year but writing some of the best piano concertos in the world.
Yeah.
And they're gonna have guys like Van Gogh eating its own paintings because they can't make a cent. And I hope to God that doesn't happen.
But so like I want Tidal to succeed, but the main story here is that basically Tidal has lost their third CEO over 2 years according to NME. In the tech industry, which Jay-Z is inadvertently kind of involved in, because, hey, if you're Tidal, that means you're competing with Spotify and the SoundClouds and the Shazams and the Pandoras of the world, but that also means that you're standing toe-to-toe with Apple and Google. So, like, he's kind of inadvertently gotten himself into the tech industry, especially because some of the tech behind Tidal of, like, streaming these high-fidelity files is there.
It's big.
But in the tech industry, when you lose three CEOs in 2 years, that's a bad sign. That means, like, you're just kind of treading water, waiting to be acquired by one of the big guys. So, I mean,
and I could see that happening, honestly.
It definitely would. And I would love to see maybe some sort of, and actually, no. I'm developing this thought where I would love to see where, in the future, which is likely going to happen, Tidal will either shut down or be acquired by some other company. And
Facebook
through that, that'll enhance streaming rights. I could see Apple or Google doing that and saying, hey, you want to listen to the Jigga Man, you want to listen to Beyonce, then you're going to have to come over to
Google Play or
Apple Music.
Apple Music.
Even though we talked last week about Apple Music trying to stray away from exclusives, I've never seen Apple try to choose their consumers and consumers as a whole over making money.
Right.
And Tidal itself isn't a decision to choose consumers over money. It's for the artist. But I argue that because artists get screwed so much, not that I feel bad for Jay-Z. He's doing really well. But, like, artists deserve to make the money that they should. They deserve to make more than minimum wage, if that. And so,
just so that they can live and produce and, you know, make their own music.
It's
such a hard talent to have to sit down and write music. Right? As, you know, I do it on my spare time, play piano, and it's ridiculously hard to just sit down for 45 minutes a day and just sit do nothing else but write. It's really hard to create, and if you have that talent, you know, you should be able to showcase it.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I'm the writing's on the wall. Tidal is not going to be around for very much longer. But I hope that the goal that Jay-Z had, where that conversation begins of how do we make these services like Spotify and Pandora and Google Play and Apple Music that are great for the consumer. I will say all these things with my Spotify student subscription, so I'm even paying 50% less than most people.
Right.
I like this form of streaming music. I like this way that I can just get whatever song I want to that's on that service and like play it and mix it whatever I want to, and I pay a little subscription. I like that model, but it may have to go up in price, or maybe the entire business will have to change, but I want that model to exist where it's very consumer friendly.
It's very big for consumers
and a lot more organized in like buying like the physical medium and like dealing with. Remember when you had to deal with iTunes? I guess Apple users still have to deal with iTunes, but like
I feel so sorry for you guys. I retired from that last year. I'm so glad I did.
I mean, you can still use an iPhone without like having to deal with iTunes too much. People do, but like I remember having to manage all my music with iTunes and I have to burn the disc and like the album art wasn't there, and because I'm OCD, the album art like had to be there, and it was a mess. This is a much better way of handling music from a consumer standpoint. I also just want the artists that I love and care about
get to not just, just be able
not just
to do
the
this
big
stuff.
ones who sell out arenas, but the little ones who are starting up. I don't want it to be such a barrier to entry to them that you have this great talent that doesn't get a chance to really make a name for
Yeah.
themselves because they can't support themselves off of their music. I'm not saying
Exactly.
like musicians should be paid like fat cats either. There should be like a hierarchy, and I'd have no problem with a musician taking like a side gig at a bar to just to support themselves while they're just
Right,
beginning.
right.
But I mean, like, there's clearly a problem in the music industry where there's kind of a 1% of the music industry as far as like the musicians themselves.
Well, and then that goes back to what we were talking about last week with musicians. A lot of them now are becoming big celebrities, and it's losing the art of music. You know, they're like being kind of sold out to whatever the record label wants the masses to hear and or what's popular in the day. But
But I'm
my,
sympathetic to
yeah.
that because with that celebrity becomes other revenue opportunities.
Okay, yeah, I could see that.
And so, like, I don't love it, but I'm sympathetic to it. Basically, I think the music industry, as far as like artists making money, is still very broken. I would like to see something change, but it looks like Tidal is not going to do that.
No, unfortunately not. I had the it's getting planting the seed, I guess, of other ways of musicians getting their fair share. Yeah.
All right, just a little more on the news. Back to pure music. Lil Yachty released some more crap. I'm sorry. So I am on a war on mumble rap. I absolutely hate it. I think it's like the destruction of rap culture. Yes, I'm one of those, like, I guess I don't even want to call myself a purist because you can say that, oh, you're just not willing to listen to the new music. No, I am, but there's no real art or sense to any of this. I don't understand any of the words. The instrumentation, for the record,
Sounds the same.
I'm talking about Lil Yachty's Teenage Emotions, which just came out, and I honestly tried to listen to, but I would not put Terrorists through 21 songs of Teenage. I would not put Terrorists through that entire album. It's not. It isn't even suitable for musical torture.
That's rough.
I really did not like it. I
No,
mean.
he put on two songs for me to listen to because I hate mumble rap in general and I can't listen to it, but this was pretty bad, where it just sounds like the same crap that's been overused the past, what, 3, 4 years is when mumble rap, or whatever you want to call it, came popular.
Yeah.
And it's just terrible. And I hope to God it goes away sometime
Yeah.
soon.
It's his first studio album, and it's like been critically acclaimed to some extent. And so I
Naturally.
guess if you're like into that style, like, sure. But just know that that's like, if you disagree with me and you think Lil Yachty is great, I implore you to go back to 2007 and listen to some of the rap that was coming out in 2007. Because
That was good.
the instrument, like, the way they mix the beats, the way they rap, the style within how they rap,
And the
it's a
lyrics.
downgrade. Yeah.
And the lyrics of the rap, it all has a purpose,
It
you
had
know?
meaning, it had purpose, it had style, it had flair, like
Simple Mathematics.
and
That's 1999 right there.
that's 20 years behind.
Yeah.
That's I'm not even asking them to go that deep, but you should. But no, and there are other rappers who are doing well. I think in a future episode I want to talk about Bishop Nauru, because
Okay, yeah.
I think he is, like, if he continues to do the work that he's doing, I think he had an album with Nas coming out that was like I haven't heard of in a while, but if he does, that's like produced by Nas, like he could be what the rap industry needs. But
The
like
saving grace, yeah.
my point is that, and I've gotten some shit for doing this, but like if you like Lil Yachty, go ahead, but I'm just saying you can do a lot better.
Of course, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, and there's like it's got a pr and I'll give you this. I liked Forever Young because Diplo did the production on that, and that made it sound a little different from all the other songs. But and you've got some like features. There's Maigo, there's YG on the album, and so give it a listen. But if you find that you like it, know that there's better out there. I'd give it like if I graded albums on a scale like
Yeah.
a school
Out of
scale.
10.
I'd give it like a C, like a C minus
C
even.
minus.
I'm
D
saying
plus,
like.
C minus.
It's passable, but you can do way better.
Okay.
Which is a lot. I guess I've, even in the evolution of explaining this, I've gone from not suitable for music torture to C minus.
Yeah.
But maybe.
I give it a solid D minus. I give you a 61.38%. That's rough.
I love how exact you are with these things. I like the precision. Hi, Dan here, and an interesting thing happened where shortly after we recorded the podcast, but before it was uploaded, news came out that Greg Allman of the Allman Brothers died at the age of 69 due to liver complications. We're going to be talking about the Allman Brothers and kind of their significance to music in this next conversation about Dan Auerbach and his single project, so I wanted to bring that up just because that happened. Sean wanted to say that he was a great musician who impacted and influenced rock music for decades, and he will definitely be sorely missed. So keep that in mind as we have this next conversation about the Allman Brothers, that this was before the news had broken.
All right, so and
lastly, we have Dan Auerbach.
Yeah, exactly.
So Dan Auerbach of the Black Keys, he has a solo album that is currently available to stream, and I think is going to be coming out.
Check.
Yeah, it's definitely available to stream on a lot of websites right now, but that's usually what happens before the album properly comes out. It's coming out sometime in early June, and I think we'll give that a take as well. Dan Auerbach, if you don't know, he is like one of the Black Keys. And it sounds like you want to go into it and seeing how is it going to sound like the Black Keys, and it doesn't.
It sounds like it's interesting. I like it, actually. Which songs did we listen to?
Listen to the ones that were on Spotify because we're that.
Which are... Let me check here. Waiting on a Song. Oh, well, that's the album. Oh, yeah. Well, okay.
Well, Waiting on a Song is going to be the name on the album. But, of course, like, they... that's, like, a part of... That's, like, song on the album.
Yeah, so that sound... When Dan had me listen to it, it sounds a mix of if the Allman Brothers Band tried to make a song
like Beatles covers,
on Revolver from the Beatles. It is really it is a great sound. I like it. It's different in a way. It's not this. At first, when I was listening to it, the first 15 seconds, I go, "Oh crap! Here's another hipster, whatever." Someone broke my heart, or my Ford pickup died on the road. Song, whatever you want. This is actually different. You know, a good sound and a genuine take on old style folky alternative, if you can put a label on it, making it his own. You know, it sounds like a bunch of different things put together, but it sounds right, unlike Linkin Park, where it sounds like crap. This one, he made a bunch of different sounds that all are coherent. His voice goes along with it well. It's not Black Keys-y, really. It's more folky, more not really country, but something along the mix of that, where...
Folky,
acoustic, Americana, there we go. That's what I was trying to think of. And that's... I like that sound for it. Normally, I don't like that music, usually, but... It works for this.
I truthfully could not have described it any better. So definitely, just to like echo some of his points really fast, don't judge the album by its cover because it does look like hipster F-150 pickup. My wife left me for the F2 guy with the F-250. it looks very much like that. It has Dan Auerbach
laying down with a hollow back
with a bunch
Fender
of leaves
Coronado?
And with like a fisheye lens.
Yeah,
with all that. Never mind the album cover, right? That's my first point. Secondly, this does not sound like the Black Keys. This sounds different.
Which is nice, and I like it when artists in a band go do solo projects that are completely different. Because even Radiohead, when Tom York does his own solo projects, they still sound Radiohead-y, because Nigel Godrich would produce it, or even Johnny Green would come help on it. It sounds Radiohead-y, and that can be kind of a bad thing at times. I mean, it's not bad, because it sounds great, but... I like it when artists go out, do their own thing, and make their own completely different sound.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see, then it's, you know, they're very versatile, and it's rare to hear that.
Yeah. So. It's absolutely great. And it does have that nice, folky Americana sound. It's like a nice throwback to 60s, 70s, like...
I'd say more 70s, like the Allman Brothers and whatnot with that.
Yeah. It's a nice throwback to that style of rock, but at the same time, and I don't really know how to put my finger on it, but... Like, Dan makes it sound very fresh. It sounds very new. It sounds dated in all of the good ways and modern in all of the good ways.
Exactly.
I didn't get many, like, electronic, like, synthesizer vibes in the background.
Not really.
It's purely just, like, guitar and drums. And I think this is good for, like, Dan and Patrick, the other member of the Black Keys, creatively. I have a Rolling Stone article from March where Patrick Carney talks about the Black Keys break and a post-touring sort of PTSD. And that's true. Like, ever since they... started really pumping out albums every couple of years and touring to support them. Like, they've kind of been on tour, very tour and production nonstop. And I think they're
you
a little
burn
bit
out.
tired.
Yeah.
Absolutely, you burn out. I
It's,
burn out just.
look at the Beatles, where they did so much for what, a 7 year period or
Yeah.
however long it was. Almost everybody burns out. It's very rare
I burn
that
out from a
people
semester
do.
of college.
Yeah, I mean, everybody does. You have to make something new, do something different every about
Yeah.
5 years or so, I would say, to keep your human mind sound and normal and
Yeah.
don't go off the deep end.
And we were just listening to the intro to BoJack Horseman, because that's actually done by Patrick Carney, other member of
Right.
the Black Keys. And that has a much more like electronic, weird, funky vibe. BoJack Horseman, also a great show.
It's
But
really
like,
weird, but it's good.
weird but good. But nevertheless, like, he composed the intro for that and made the intro for it with his dad, I believe. And like, that has a totally different sound. And like you said, whenever any member of Radiohead, like, now basically all of them have become film composers.
Well, yeah, Johnny Greenwood especially. Good God, that guy's a musical genius.
But
Oh,
like,
we'll do that another day.
you take their bits, you take all of the bits of that band and like the sound they bring in, and let them be creative and do that on their own. I think that could be like a great alternative for, no pun intended, for bands who want to make different sounds, differentiate, but
it's experimental. It's
yeah, it's a great way
you
to
try a different
experiment.
thing.
Like, have your band members like break off a little bit, like take a little hiatus, like.
But the band's still together. It's just you're doing your own thing to take a break, and then when you get back together,
You
you have
have
a.
all of that new influence
And
coming
it's
together.
so great when
Yeah,
you if it
and
comes together.
that might be the formula. But again, like, not everything works for everyone. I'm just saying that for the Black Keys and for like Radiohead and many other like great bands, it's gone great. So, so far right now, Shine On Me, King of a One Horse Town, and Waiting on a Song are the singles that are out.
So those titles sound hipstery. It's not hipster, guys. All right, well,
Dan Auerbach is very hipster.
you
Let's
know
just
he
get that out of the
is.
way.
No,
But
he
it's not
is. But
hipster
I'm
in the way
saying
you'll hate.
it's not like Mac DeMarco hipster weird things. Even though I do like him, but still,
I love Mac DeMarco. I like Mac DeMarco. But yeah. All right, let's go on to the next portion of the show. But firstly, this episode is brought to you by Squarespace. They're not paying us, but I'll still say Squarespace. Squarespace, build it beautiful to set your website apart to you should, and all the other different slogans they have, because they change their slogan every 3 weeks.
Yeah, about every two or
Have I
three.
missed any of them?
I
Set
mean,
your website apart and build it beautiful because make your next
make
move and
move
you should.
should something like that.
Squarespace.
Squarespace, build it beautiful.
Okay. We alluded to this last episode, but yesterday last episode we took on Kanye West, and we didn't take on. We had a little discussion about like Kanye West and like what it represents. Like what he represents as far as music as a whole. But now we're gonna talk about a topic I'm very well, I guess we're both very
Both
passionate
are
about
passionate
the
about.
chain smokers.
Oof, God help me. And the future of
Of
electronic me
EDM.
of EDM or electronic music in general.
Yes.
Yeah.
We talk a lot. Clearly, we're very influenced by electronic music. I don't think we've gotten through any half of the topics we just talked about earlier. We talked about like the electronic influence because that is very much the mainstream now.
Which is
And
still weird.
yeah,
I'm not used to that.
both of us grew up in the days where like we were very young, so we didn't like club in those days naturally. But like, can you imagine just like us as 5 year olds with glow sticks and some like
Me going
underground
to
like
underground
pre-rave?
house, me going to underground at French House or something, you know, that'd be kind of
Which I would have
crazy.
loved to have been that kid, but I would have been annoying to everyone else. But regardless, like the Chainsmokers with Closer and with a lot of their other songs from last summer, those were like that looked like the future of EDM, which was horrible to me.
And then they released their album this year, what, like in April or something?
Yeah. Let's but before we
Before.
do, let's before we do like a super deep dive into the Chainsmokers and everything, I want to start this kind of the same way we did last time, where we lay out our opinions on the matter about Chainsmokers and the ED, like I
Future
don't, the
VDM.
future of EDM, and then based off of that, we'll bounce off of each other's thoughts. So, would you like to go first? I can go first. It's fine.
Yeah, I could do it, no
Go for it.
problem. So, you know what we were stating last episode, where I listened to, deep house and whatnot since I can remember, really. It was very, very underground when it started, and now out of nowhere, the past what started what 2011, 2010-ish.
Yeah.
It started to get a little more popular and a little more mainstream, and then it exploded 2013, 2014. and now there's these big festivals all the time, because EDC used to be small. Like, Deadmau5 would go and perform EDC in Los Angeles before it got out of hand, and now he hates it. And now it's crazy, and you're going to the mental festival, as I call it, even though they are some
Electric
good
Daisy
artists.
Carnival, which
Yeah,
is
exactly.
like,
Electric Daisy Carnival. What the hell does that even mean? I don't know.
I mean, it's been
But
around for our entire lives.
exactly, but it's been, as I said right before that, it was really small for a while, like 2009, 2010, Deadmau5 went there, I believe. And it was more housey stuff until the past about 2013, 2014. Then
So
you get the
once it became
mainstream
mainstream,
EDM, where everybody knows.
mainstream media.
Yeah. And now it became
Frogs.
mainstream. Mickey the Frog's gay.
They're turning the friggin' frogs gay. Welcome to the Alex Jones program on the Syndicate 23 network. I'm sorry for derailing that.
Oh, you killed me.
Back to your point. So, like,
Anyways,
the point where EDM crossed over,
we went from house to like
where we went
electronic to
from,
EDM.
yeah, like EDM is a new phrase. Let's not forget
It's
that.
yeah, no, because for me it used to be house,
Electronic dance
electronic,
music
or
for
it would,
all you who aren't like totally sure, but
yeah, it used to be house or trance, whatever, or
chill, yeah.
chill step, whatever. And then Deadmau5's was kind of a mixture of the things, and then 2013, 2014, then it just EDM became its own genre, even. It literally means electronic dance music, but it doesn't cover every single thing in electronic dance music at all.
Yeah,
Where
like
you had guys like Disclosure coming on that were more of a house vibe, more funky things that were technically EDM, but not what, mainstream EDM is, with Dylan Francis
if
and
I could
guys like
jump
that.
in if I could jump in
Yeah,
really
have at
fast
it.
about like EDM in general, like it's such a blanket term because
Yeah.
EDM is not a genre. It's like it's a genre in the sense that rock is a genre. Like, you can go into indie rock, you can go to alternative
Alternative
rock, you can
rock,
go to
yeah.
post rock, you can go to like
I have post rock
You,
so
there's so
big.
many subgenres within it that, like, to blanket everything as EDM is like a gross
Yeah,
oversimplification.
and
Not that
then
you were doing that. I was just making
no.
that like kind of
No,
quote.
I hate that. And that's where people misunderstand what it means, really. But so going on to the future of it can go in one of two ways, in my opinion,
Interesting.
where you have more artists like the Chainsmokers or Dylan Francis or whatever you want that are mainstream EDM, which more and more people are getting popular. But to me, it's starting to blend all into almost one sound where it sounds very similar. I mean, granted, even house is very repetitive and whatnot, but each song usually has its own different vibe, different beat. A lot of this can sound the same with EDM. And in the future, if it keeps sounding the same, it can die out very quickly, in my opinion. These festivals and these artists can just go down in flames almost if it keeps continuing in this, same trajectory of more popular stuff, but in my opinion, it sounds very similar. And going on the Chainsmokers crap, their album, when I listen to it, I do this with albums, is I'll skip through each song a little bit, go to the middle and see how it sounds, because I'm a weird man and I like trying to dissect sounds. And then I'll have a
Fair.
blanket straight through playthrough of an album, so
This
that
will be
way I
the
get
second
each show,
time.
which would be the second through, and that will be every single song, even if it's an instrumental weird one, which I'll go on to later, the 1975, even though they're good. But and I'll still listen to it. The Chainsmokers album
Right.
sounds the same fucking song over and over and over again. And that is the problem of EDM right now, where if it keeps going in this Chainsmokers vibe, it can just die out because I'm telling you, it's the same fucking beat. I'm sorry, I'm cussing a lot. I'm passionate because it's pissing me off a
It's
lot.
fine. Keep it real.
Their first song, like Closer, was big. It wasn't that bad. I didn't mind it,
Let's not
but
forget
then.
Selfie.
And then, oh, please
I'm
stop talking
sorry
about.
to have to
I,
remind
I'm
you
gonna, I'm
that.
gonna fucking throw my laptop around the room, stomp on it, stomp him in the nuts, Thugnificent style with a rubber mallet. And, anyways, then I'm like, okay, it's not bad. Maybe if they do different things, it'll sound pretty cool. Next song, whatever. Well, I can't remember. It was same crap. And then they did one with lead singer of Coldplay, Chris Martin, who's sold out like no other. Good God.
Coldplay's another
We'll
conversation.
have a Coldplay discussion another day, because they used to be really, really good and now they're crap. Anyways, and then he did a song with the Chainsmokers, and it sounded like the same, like Closer or something, like the same damn beat. And their entire new album is that. It's the same beat over and over again. I can go on my keyboard, pick up the chords, do it in different variations.
That was a meme.
And make the new fucking song. And that was a meme before I even knew it was a meme until somebody pointed out to me two weeks ago.
My girlfriend, actually.
That's hilarious. I go, oh my God. It's not just me. Thank you. It is shit. It sounds the same overplayed crap. And so, EDM can go in that direction. Or it can go in a direction of what we talked about last time with Mousetrap label, of Dead Mouse's label, going and getting new artists, new sounds, like Feed Me with his EP, like Feed Me's Existential Crisis. It can go to that direction of new artists going out, having a different sound, and making electronic dance music an actual thing, instead of it all kind of blanketing into an EDM vibe of just, you know, up, down, up, down. It's like taking Molly, up, down, and that's it. You don't want that because...
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Percocets.
Percocets. Molly Percocets.
And it... If they make it their own thing, like, you know what underground house music was in the 90s and early 2000s, where it was just artists getting a hold of new Korg machines that have never been used and just saying, what does this button do? Let me go and try this out. And it makes something great. That's another direction it can go to, and I hope it goes more in that direction of just making new things and
more
not
authentic.
Always more authentic, more not this generic same old where, you know, go up to a rave and go nuts. I make more, you know, new but
right
natural sounds, new different things that are still artist's own point of view.
Yeah.
You know, with it. So that's kind of my take on it. Fuck the Chainsmokers. They can lick the shaft.
So, I have a lot of points to go back to that. I'm a lot more...
You're more mainstream EDM,
I'm into EDM culture. I'm like...
Yeah.
It's very much like
you
how
are
I've
your
grown
candy
up
kid.
In. Like, yes, I am very much a candy kid. Unapologetically. So, before I begin my take, I want to just piss you off a little bit. Want me to take your laptop? Because you might throw it.
Yeah, have at it.
For the record, Sean's sitting across from me, and he has his laptop on his lap, but I've taken it away because this is going to make him angry. So, this is an interview in none other than Interview Magazine of the Chainsmokers from the 29th of July, 2016. When they're talking about new music that they haven't released yet, which turned out to be the most, like, basic-ass album ever, which was Memories... Do Not Open.
They're trying to be M83, but M83 is fucking great.
No. What the Chainsmokers are trying to be are fuckboys. The Chainsmokers is what happens when you turn fuckboys into, like, a musical experience.
That's perfect.
It's like, oh, you don't call me anymore, and oh, I remember when we had all these good times.
Can we have sex, yo? Can we do this?
We had sex. It was good sex. I don't get much of it, but, like, it was sex. And,
whoa.
And, like, I don't know, maybe we can hang out again. That's the Chainsmokers, but musically. But let me give you a quote that will piss you off. Talking about their music, one of their artists, quote, why are we formatting ourselves? That's when we created Waterbed and Roses and Don't Let Me Down, and some new songs that haven't come out yet, but really blur the line between indie, pop, dance music, and hip-hop.
What are they on about? What? It is not that at all.
I demand that the Chainsmokers repent.
God.
For their cardinal sins against indie, pop, dance, and hip-hop.
Dance is the only thing remotely close, but it's not.
You can't dance to that.
But you can't even dance to their songs.
There's no amount of drugs you can give me to enjoy the Chainsmokers. Unless it's something that makes me unable to hear things.
Or horse tranquilizer.
I don't think there's not enough ketamine in the world to make me enjoy a Chainsmokers concert unless it kills me.
All right.
But, no,
wow.
Basically...
God, they're assholes.
We're running a little bit long, so I agree with most of your points when you're regarding to the Chainsmokers, but as far as the future of EDM...
Yeah, I want to hear your take on that.
So you kind of said it can go two ways. It can either go, A, it continues to go this sort of mainstream way where you take the zeitgeist of... whatever. I'm sure the Chainsmokers' next song is going to be about, like, Snapchat stories or something. And
how you can share Snapchat stories now.
How no one uses Facebook stories. Like, Here's some Chainsmokers lyrics for you. Guess what? Free shit, Chainsmokers. Go ahead, take it for free. I don't even want to be associated with it. Something about like, oh, I know you're still online because you're posting stories to your Instagram, but like, you're not talking to me, and I don't know. It's
we can literally make it right now in 15 minutes,
and it'll sell like hotcakes because some people eat that shit up. But substantively, on the Chainsmokers, before I go to the future of EDM.
EDM.
I keep wanting to say EDC, but
excited.
Clearly excited. I promise I'll stop talking about it. But on the Chainsmokers, I had friends who were diehard fans of the Chainsmokers, right?
I have friends that are diehard fans still.
Well, yeah, I have those friends, and they liked the Chainsmokers before they came out with this album because it was like, okay, yeah, it's a little poppy, but maybe I heard some of their older stuff and it had a little more flair to it. I haven't because I'm not going to put myself through that. I have better things to do with my time, like anything painful. My point is that when these people that are super fans of the Chainsmokers heard this album, they were devastated. Because
really?
It sucks.
Okay.
Because it's bad. Because it's not creative at all. What this album sounds like when I describe it to people is like, take one decent song, it'll chart, right? And then make the rest of the album B-sides for that song.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Throw in a few like collaborations here and there. Throw in a few collaborations in there, like that like hot garbage Coldplay one, and it's just, it's sad. It's a sad and cynical commentary on what the Chainsmokers or the record label or whoever think that electronic music is supposed to be. I also love how Memories Do Not Open is published under Disruptor Records. The only thing it disrupts is my peace and sanity. But
disrupts the industry.
Get the fuck out of here. The Chainsmokers doesn't disrupt the industry. The Chainsmokers is like today's garbage, and then tomorrow we'll have some different garbage, and
tomorrow's
the Chainsmokers will be long forgotten. And then we'll go back and, oh, what happened to the Chainsmokers? Oh, they're
gone. Thank you. Bye.
They retired, they blew all of their money, and now like they just like live in some like small house somewhere. They don't bother anyone with their horrid music.
They're probably with Kanye out in Wyoming.
The future of EDM. I agree with you that it can go two ways, where it's either it ends up like going the Chainsmokers route, the lowest common denominator pop, which is I think the most respectful way I can describe it, the lowest common denominator pop, or you can go to a return of your roots and go back to like what made the art great. And like I think this is a struggle that every single genre goes. I kind of opened the conversation a little bit with saying that you can't say that EDM is one thing. The Chainsmokers are as much EDM as like Disclosure is, or I'll take some like smaller artists that I really love. I'm super into like Deep House and Future House, so
good,
your Chamis, your Oliver Heldens, like
your Jimster, your Kolsch, whatever you want.
We can go back to Deadmau5, we can go to Calvin Harris, we can go to Calvin Harris and Dylan Francis and Kygo. I like all three of those, but you, with any one of these big genres of music, it comes to this point where it becomes mainstream, and a lot of the people who are part of that genre go, no, this isn't what I want to represent. This is not what I want to represent my genre. They'll either say it outright, like Deadmau5 does. Deadmau5 has no problem saying that
his genre
is gone. Or they'll do it in a quiet way and say, they'll allude to it, like saying, you know, the way it used to be done is not right anymore.
So it's like Disclosure. Literally, Disclosure said we want to try to change it back.
So
that's what it was.
My point that I would add to you is that every genre has this coming of age where all who are under the umbrella see that it's become something that they don't like. And so for the genre as a whole, I think that both are going to happen. I think you're going to continue seeing this like pop electronic like EDM crap until that dies down and some other phase comes in. I don't know what happens after that. Are we just going to have robots make the music for us?
I don't know. I mean, Daft Punk are quote-unquote robots, so but they make damn good music.
But they're human after all.
Yes, it's very true.
You're going to have that, and then you're going to have a counter wave to that where you're going to have everyone going, you know what, I'm going to go back to like 80s electronic. I'm going to throw Giorgio Moroder on my album.
Yeah, there we go.
I'm going to like really get back to these roots, and then they're going to do what all genres do. They're maybe going to add some of like the new flair to it, whatever is the new thing. Or they're going to go back and do a take on the classics, like Dan Auerbach and the Black Keys. That's their fresh take on the classics.
Okay.
any of the artists that do like new music. That's like, hey, we're giving it this new sort of sound, but we're staying very true to our roots. I think Disclosure, when they come out with a new album, I at least hope that they do that.
Yes, they've been taking a break right now, which is actually smart for them because they've been all over the place, even doing underground.
Yeah,
B2Bs with Scream and whatnot, which is...
They're touring the shit out of that too. But like, I think the evolution of EDMs is going to go two ways. For everyone who wants to go see your like poppy sellout lowest common denominator stuff, you're going to be able to get that. Yeah. But for everyone who...
Like me, who's a Puritan. I will admit, definitely Puritan.
For those who want to see something else, the artists will create that market because they want to deep down in their hearts, and the fans will go to that market. They'll go... It's like... I'll compare it to... We were having a conversation about MF Doom earlier. Like, the creation of the MF Doom, or Doom, I guess, as it goes by now, his character is that rap has gone to this... He was criticizing Lil Wayne in his, like, big days, right?
Yeah.
Rap has gone to this point where it's just, like... It's just not the same thing as what he was doing back when he was in... Back when he was Zev Love X and KMD. And so he created music to appeal to that demographic. And we can argue about, like, Doom's history or whatnot later. But, like, he came out and collaborated and made some great work that was just old school enough to feel like the good shit. Just new school enough to feel modern and fresh and of its time. And people love it. People still hail Mad Villainy as one of like the best rap albums of all time.
It really is.
So, yeah. I'm overly. I guess in a weird way, I'm optimistic. In that,
I am too.
And that I've seen this play out in other genres before, and I have no reason to believe that it's not going to again.
Or you can even come up with more sub-genres like rock and everything.
Yeah.
You know, producing so many different things. So.
Your laptop is intact.
Hello, Dell. We're back. Put my laptop back. And all right, so
anything
back
else?
So did you want to go to our last thing, or do you want to save that for another time? I don't know.
Let's do the last thing.
Because recommend, which is every week we try to do this.
Yeah, so every week we try to recommend some music that, you know, up-and-coming artists that we've been into that we would like more people to listen to.
It doesn't even have to be up-and-coming. It could be well-established artists that
up-and-coming, well-established. Just not what you hear in the headlines all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, we'll try to bring in, like, different genres in the mix. Stuff that Sean likes, stuff that I like. These are our own personal recommendations. I don't pick his. He doesn't pick mine. But, you know, we just want to, like, talk about some stuff we're into that maybe isn't the newest, but, like, or maybe they release something new and we want to bring it up. But,
yeah.
Anyways, I'll start this time.
I started last time.
So I want to bring up They. Now, the way you pronounce, or the way you talk about, the way you refer to They is T-H-E-Y, period, all capital letters. They're a band that, or they're like a duo. I want to describe them as R&B meets rap meets a little bit of trap, but like...
It's a little bit of rock. Yeah, it's a blend.
Yeah.
Blend rap. That's a thing.
Blend rap. You have mumble rap and you have blend rap and then you just have Future. Future cannot be explained. But the reason I love They so much is because, like, no, it's just like a black duo that is just killing it. So you've heard They, if you've heard of Zoo's song Working For It, that was like a super collaboration. You had Skrillex on there. You had They. That was by Zoo. And they did some vocals on it. So if you love that song, you should definitely give their album, New Religion Hyena, a take. It came out earlier this year. And yeah, there's some songs that definitely go back to their rocky, their like rock sort of vibes and what they go to. They take a lot of inspiration from Nirvana, actually.
Really?
Yeah, so they have that kind of like grunge kind of inspiration.
Interesting.
I think in What You Want, the song What You Want, that's when it really comes out. And then at the same time, and these go into my recommendations. So What You Want is a really great song on that album. I really love Truth Be Told. Bad Habits is very much like a classic R&B song. Not really much rap, but it just like sounds really great. And my personal favorite song on the album overall is You Right. It's the last song on the album, and it's just like a modern, like, person of color headbanger. Like,
okay.
I got to see They perform live in San Francisco over this past school year with one of my good friends, and God, it was just such a phenomenal show. They have such great, like, crowd work and energy. They really love what they're doing. You can tell they're really into what they're doing. I think they're gonna blow up because these guys are way too talented. They're way too on it. And I definitely follow them on Instagram because that's also very fun. But no, I love this band. I cannot sing their praises high enough. I can't wait till they work on new shit. I'm gonna like bump their new shit as much as they can. And yeah, if I had to recommend, I would say What You Want if you want to go for like a kind of slower vibe, or if you really want to go into like a really upbeat, really get a blend for what, really get a sense of what their sounds is like, I would go with You Right. It's phenomenal. I've played one of their
You
songs too
played it for
before.
me, so I remember listening to it. I haven't really dived into it at all, but I will even give it a check out. It's something interesting. Remember the one thing you showed me? It sounded a bit different, but I liked it for sure.
Yeah.
So.
I think even if you don't like it too much, I think it could grow on a lot of people, but yeah, if you're into R&B, if you're into like good hip hop and rap, all of those things, I think it's got a lot there to offer for those people.
Yeah, for sure.
So your band this week.
Yeah, so my band is the 1975, recommended from my good friend Allie. So shout out
Shout out to
to
Ali.
the wonderful girl that is Allie. They are an English band, I think from Manchester, actually. Quote me if I'm
Woo!
wrong, but they
I'll fact check you
you
on
fact
that.
checked me. Yeah, for sure.
Fake news.
They only have two albums out right now, but a lot of songs on those two albums. And their first
Manchester, you're
album,
right.
yeah, Manchester, 'cause the way his Matt's voice is, it sounds he it's really odd because you can hear his accent when he sings, which is kind of rare. Normally an accent kind of pulls out when you sing, because even German artists, whatnot, when they sing in English, you don't hear it. Or Phoenix, they sing in English, but they are ridiculously French.
Very French,
You hear his
severely French.
you hear his accent, and he's like, got in the back of my van. It's like, okay, yeah, you are extremely
Oh, the
from your
sweet,
working
sweet sounds
class.
of Manchester.
Yeah. They have two albums, the Black Album, which is just titled The 1975, which is alternative rock in its purest form, I guess you could say, where you have a little electronic bits in it, but it's not overly done. It is greatly produced. It sounds like just straight alternative rock, what it
It was
should
from
be.
2013, and I think that's
2013,
like,
and that's kind of the
it's 2013 alternative rock. So little bits of electronic here and there,
but
but.
not too much, not overly produced, and it's perfect. They have a lot of different varying sounds in that album, and then they have their latest album, which we just call the Pink Album,
I
which
call it
is,
the Creep Album.
yeah, or I call it the Creep Album because the title is really weird. Where it's, I like it for you sleep. I like it when you sleep, for you are so beautiful yet so unaware of it, I believe, and it is,
That's the name.
yeah, that is
Again,
no,
the
that is
name of
the
the album
title. That
is,
is the name.
quote, I like it when you sleep, comma, for you're so beautiful, yet so unaware of it.
But creepy weirdness aside, we just call it the Pink Album because we don't want to be
All
say
right.
that all the damn time. That album is good. They went more almost Radiohead-y experimental sounds with it. But if anyone knows a song from 1975, it'll be Somebody Else, which came out on that album, which came out 2016, I believe, like February or March
Yes.
of last year. And if you like pure alternative in its form, that their first album is meant for you. It's very, very good. They're starting to hit a little mainstream, but not really. Just their song Somebody Else kind of got to be a radio hit, but even then it's not a mainstream song at
And by
all, really.
mainstream, you don't necessarily mean like, oh, it gets radio play, therefore it's bad. You're kind of talking about
It
the
just gets to the
creative
masses.
aspect of
Yeah,
it.
it gets to the masses, as in the radio play it, but it's a damn good song, and I'm glad because now more people are starting to hit them up. They're, doing more, bigger, better shows and whatnot. I mean, Ali's gone to a couple of them and loved it, naturally. And this show, like, I was kind of skeptical at first because I heard some of their songs. I go, okay, it's all right. And I just did my run through of the album, which I always do, and I go, wow. If alternative stays like this, it needs to, because it's in its purest form. It's not taking a folk route. It's not taking a super electronic route. It's a blend of all of it, which is what alternative really
Should
should
be,
be
and
in its
that's when it
greatest form.
glows.
And that's one of the best genres of music, in my opinion, is that it's good, and I very recommend it to a wide variety of people. So,
I have two questions for you.
yes, how about it?
First question, I noticed just by looking at the track lists, both albums have the intro song called The 1975.
Mm-hmm.
One on the Black Album, if you will, is 1 minute 20. The other is 1 minute 23. Are they the same song? And is that very annoying to have to, like...
No, it's just, like, the little intro that they do. You know, like, you know, M83 did the intro with, what was that album? Something, Sleep, I can't think of it.
Right.
Why can't I think that's one of my favorite albums?
I'll pull it up, keep talking.
We know a lot of bands do that, where they put an intro into it, and then the intro goes into the first song. That's exactly what happened.
Hurry Up, We're Dreaming?
Yeah, Hurry Up, We're Dreaming. He did the intro, but that was a long intro, and then going into the first song. The same thing with 1975. That intro of their first... album goes straight to The City, which is a damn good song, and it sets it up, because in 1975 are weird and hipster, like that's just kind of their style, but their songs are weird and hipster, if that makes any sense. You look at them, they all dress in black, you know, the lead singer has a freaking chest tattoo of a woman's name in it, and you know, they do some weird hipstery
very things, hipster
super hipster, but again, going like with Dan Auerbach, it's more they do it. Their art itself is great. They are good. He's a good songwriter. They're all good performers, and it blends well together. So, highly recommend it for a lot of people.
I heard a couple of tracks, and this is like Sean's thing, and I'm going to get into them a lot more because I've been needing a lot of just like a palate cleanser, I guess.
This is a perfect thing for them, actually. Palate cleanser of alternative.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. And this sounds very much like that, if you will.
Exactly.
So, second question, usual question, song recommendations. One, maybe two songs that you would have someone listen to just to get
I'm going to do it on one or two from each album, if that's okay with you.
I don't make the rules.
I mean, I don't know. It's, what is this, communism?
Strict. God damn it, there we go again with communism.
gotta make the rules.
We're so close. We're almost over.
So... two songs I recommend for their first album, The 1975, is the second song, The City, and then we will go with
what about
probably
the
do
city?
Pressure.
What about those songs?
So The City is an alternative rock song. It is the epitome of a palate cleanser. It is very, very good, and it has all the aspects of alternative that you want in it. And then you have Pressure, which is more of an experimenty-ish song, but you still have great vocals, you have more electronic in it, but it's still a good alternative song, so you get that perfect blend. And then for the Pink Album, I'm not going to state the damn title because no, I'm not going to do that.
It's too long and too creepy.
Two songs I will recommend is... I don't want to do Somebody Else because a lot of people already know that. And if you know anything from that, so I'm not going to recommend that.
But
recommend
Somebody Else is like one of the more popular songs.
Exactly.
So like, if it's popular for a reason, you might want to get into that.
Yeah, I will recommend The Sound. It is a pop song, a cheerful, happy song. You know how you have vocals of like kids in the background in it. It's pretty cool.
I fall for that shit.
Yeah. So more popular, like Phoenix-y type. And then I like She's American on that album as well, where that's more alternative experimental, I guess you could say, more not boy bandy-ish, but more like the vocals are more prominent in that song, and it's a good kind of break in between their normal sound. So I really recommend those for people trying to get into new alternative things. So hopefully they release more and more stuff, and I like their stuff. It's good stuff.
As always,
damn good stuff.
As we kind of started the podcast, like, the world is very weird right now, but the music is very
great. At least the music is great.
Yeah.
That's it.
And, yeah, it's like, as much as we shit on different aspects of the industry and saying, like, oh, these artists are popular and we aren't fans of them, like, it's still very easy to find music that is good in the sense that it's, because good is a very, like, subjective thing, right? But I want to say good in the sense that you can tell there was, like, effort and production that went into it, and you can tell that the artists really cared about what they were putting out there, and they really wanted to put in a nice product, and they took a lot of different things, tried to make something different and unique and kind of make that all work together.
Yeah, exactly. So
right on that, next week, if I just want to tease, whenever we create these like rundowns for the show, I always talk about something new I want to rant about, which usually goes in the third block. Last week it was Kanye, this week it was the Chainsmokers, and next week I'm going to put on my social justice hat a little bit and talk about I just turned so many people off.
Oh God, yeah, you just like.
I'm sorry, but
I'm
no,
so sorry.
Okay, not social justice, but I'm really pissed off when these like white artists, like your Miley Cyruses, your Katy Perrys, your Justin Biebers, they start to embrace black culture and just look really horrible doing it. And then so they immediately leave it and like say, oh, you know, it wasn't right for me.
Yeah,
the culture's
we'll
just
go,
too much. So
we'll go heavy into that next
week. I have
week.
Takes for that. And if you think that I've been the voice of reason thus far, well, we will change that.
Yes,
but,
for sure.
I promise I'm not going to get like too heavy into the social justice aspect of it.
It's more for me the art.
It's a lot for me the art. And another thing is just how the culture of rap music plays into the art of it, how I think it's very misunderstood, how there are definitely problems with it, problems with like misogyny, things like that. But what I think is worse is basically anytime Katy Perry decides to start dancing around with a bunch of black people and dabbing, it's just like fucking horrible.
But we'll go heavy on that next week. So,
nevertheless, that was the podcast.
Thank you for listening, guys.
Thank you all for listening. That was Audio Face on Syndicate 23. If you like this podcast, or if you don't, but you do like soccer things, definitely check out the We Made It podcast by Caesar and Bam. Also on Syndicate 23, that's at wemadeit.syndicate23.co. We are at audioface.syndicate23.co. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan from the Web, Instagram at Dan from the Internet. Sean, you're...
Both of mine are at SW Soares on Twitter and Instagram.
Because you're a simple man.
I'm a simple man. Traffic, gotta plug my sponsorship, so...
Brands. You can also catch out another thing that's coming soon. Recording for Duty, another brand on Syndicate 23. That's going to be videos telling stories about issues that I think matter. There's going to be a couple videos on mental health that I'm going to be dropping in the month of June that I hope you all like. But yeah, check out all the stuff we're doing. And thank you so much for listening. Please send us feedback, whether it's good or bad. We want to make a show that like y'all enjoy listening to and that we enjoy doing. This is absolutely great. So yeah, in the last words, before I kill you.
Have a great week, guys, and cheers.
Yeah, have a good week. Later.
Cheers, guys.